I always say I preach shorter if you say amen and shout, so just remember that. I heard that, Russell. Amen. Just give a second or two for the kids to settle, but thank you, Russell. Thank you, everyone, for being here today. Summit Life, Jordan and Andrea, and Mott's Clan, and Doug and Lena. I don't know. Haven't seen everybody, but welcome. And welcome to you guys, family, friends. It's very, very nice. This is a bit of a commissioning Sunday. I think it was Helen said it's a launch, not a farewell. That sounds better. It's kind of like a go. They didn't just buy us a one-way ticket, so that's good. For those of you who don't know, we leave on next Sunday, we fly to Tanzania, and we're there at least until the 27th or something of January, working with Petra Church. We've been Zooming with them and talking with Jeremy, who oversees that area of the world, and making plans, some exciting things. We will torture you with video and text, and this is a new day. If we'd have had these social media is back in 1981 when we were sitting in language school, you would have had to watch every moment of our life. But we will keep you in our prayers, and we ask you to pray for us. I appreciated Helmut a couple of Sundays ago. He really felt a burden to pray for Julius, who is the father of the couple who were filling in for a time, whose wife passed away, Jade. And he just felt to pray for him. And so I just want to encourage, as God lays us on your heart, or the work over there, or if you think of us ever, to just pray, because we really do need prayer, and I appreciate it. And we're dedicating little Evelyn today, and standing here with our family. I couldn't look at anybody. I had to just be really strong and no emotion, because I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, we're going to miss a lot of things and a lot of you, all of you, some more than others. You should be glad I'm going the soft route this morning. If I'd have preached last week, the word I had from the Lord was a very strong one. Lori and I were wrestling last week and praying, and I have to mention it at least, right? Is that, you know, fathers especially, but fathers and mothers, get your act together. This was for last week, not this week. Because heaven and hell depend on it. Children go to, this was the word I had last week. Children go to hell because their parents mess around, fail God. And you can say, well, that's just judgment. Take it for what it was worth. It matters, parents, what you do, how you set up your home, and I know God works outside of all of that, and he's in control of everyone's lives, and I thank God for it, but it does matter how you raise your family, how you serve him, and make way for kids to grow up, and keep them in a healthy place. It's still between God and them and his call on their life, but man, when I see people, okay, I don't want to preach that. But it bothers me when I see people, because of their challenge, and we all have them. We have them. Trust me. You don't want to know my stuff. But when we stumble, and when we set our kids up for years of battles and years of psychological challenges, and just get your stuff together and let God heal your home and heal your lives and serve and make, bring them to church and bring them into a healthy community and serve God with your family. Is that okay? Yeah. Do it. Yeah. So this morning, what I want to speak on is it relates to what we're going to do in Tanzania, but it relates to us here, and I'm asking you to listen to what Paul's saying, and it relates to your life and your family and your home. So please turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 1, and I'm just going to read a few verses. My message this morning has 2 points, with many sub-points. 2 points. First one is, it matters how you live. Paul, and he talks in these chapters and in Corinthians, he talks about his life, style, how he lived his life. It matters how you live. And it matters the message that you preach, that you are faithful to the Word of God. Amen? Amen. 2 points. It matters how you live. And it matters what your message is. Get it right. Amen. We can go home now. Yeah. Don't get that happy. Because you did that, I just added 10 more minutes. Yeah, 20 more minutes. Hallelujah. Keep going. Let's read. Just keep in mind the 2 points that I said. How you live, your life, and your message. He says, you know, brothers, that our visit to you is not a failure. He preached in Thessalonica, I think I'm saying that right, like 3 weeks. When I, you know, I was reading up on the bit of the history of it, I was like, so how come it took us so long, Herman? We should have been gone long ago. And he's writing back to this church that had very little support and going through persecution. And he writes back to them and he says, our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. So here we go with the message, his gospel, his message. For the appeal we made does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up our greed. God is our witness. We are not looking for praise from men, nor not from you or anyone else. As an apostle of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were, here we go, this is his lifestyle. He says, we had a good message, it's solid, we weren't tricking you, we weren't trying to deceive you. He says, we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her children. We love you so much that we delighted to share not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Starting to get closer to home. We shared our lives as well. Because you had become so dear to us, surely you remember, brothers, our toil, our hardship. We worked night and day in order to not be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. So the gospel, his life, the message, his actions, back and forth, back and forth. He just keeps repeating his message and his life. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy. And I'm going to come back to that worthy. I remind you of 2 weeks ago when I spoke on it. It was such a good point. I'm going to hit it again. To live a life worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So he's challenging them. You heard our message. It was a genuine gospel. You saw our lives. Now we're urging you to live a worthy life. You live that life. And we also thank God continually because when, here we go, this is our part now. When you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. For you, brothers, became imitators of God's church in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to all men in their efforts to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always, and he goes on talking about them. Father, I pray you'll bless your word in Jesus' wonderful name. Again and again and again, I'm going to go there. You don't have to necessarily go there. Corinthians, back in 1 Corinthians, you're writing to another city. He says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquent or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men, men's wisdom, but on the power of God. And it kind of sounds like he wasn't too concerned about what he was saying. And what I just want to make a quick point here is I grew up in a Pentecostal charismatic revival time. And when we read words like that, it was kind of like, yeah, it didn't matter what you preached. It didn't matter what you said. You just want the power of God. And not even understanding maybe what the power of God was. What is the power of God? If it's not to live a holy life, if it's not to come in line with the scripture and to follow Christ and to be an example to everyone else. And Paul, even when he's saying these words, I came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, he goes on to explain to them his message. And it wasn't a worldly message, it was the wisdom of God. In verse 6 and 7, no, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and God's destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. And he goes on, he's talking about his message. So when we talk about demonstration of the Spirit and of power, he's talking about the secret message of God that he's been carrying, and he's talking about the life that he's lived. And if you come back into Thessalonians, you can go there. I'll meet you there in a second. But he said it again in 2 Corinthians. He says this, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God." Amen. So I hope you're getting what Paul's message is. He says, we came to Thessalonica, we came to Corinth, not as with wise, persuasive words. If there's anybody who has had wisdom and strong words, it's Paul. He wrote half the New Testament. But what he's saying, I determined to only know among you Christ and him crucified, to live that out. We lived as mothers, as fathers. We were sincere. We were encouraging you. We were strengthening you. We were helping you. And so when we think of going to Tanzania for us, or we think of coming here to Canada, some of us came from overseas and different ones, and you know, you think of the history of this church. My prayer is that we would have a genuine word from God, the true gospel, that we'd be faithful to this word. This is God's word. We would hold to it. We would live and die for it. We would keep this message faithful and true before us. And we would live good lives. Amen? We would live as a sweet-smelling aroma to the world. To some, it's the smell of death. To some, it's the smell of life. And some, we don't smell so good when we talk about these amazing truths that God has given to us. But we are called to live a life that's an example, that others can be imitators of, that others can follow. In Philippians, Paul says, you know, follow my example, find godly men, for many live as enemies of the cross. And I've preached that message 10,000 times. If he was talking about the world, he said, they're all enemies of the cross. But he's talking to the church. He's talking to you and me. And many live, you know, their God is their stomach, is their God, and all these, their minds on earthly things. Of course, that's the world. But he's breaking, he says, I'm saying it with tears, because you, my brothers and sisters, live poor lives. Don't live like that. Find some godly men. Find some good people. Follow their example. Become that example. And so it does matter what you believe, it does matter what you preach, and it does matter how you live your life. Get those two things right, and I'm telling you, 99% of the battle's done. Doesn't mean you won't have problems. It doesn't mean you won't be challenged. It doesn't mean stuff doesn't happen. When we sing that song, all my life you have been faithful, it's true, but it still means we've gone through battles. And as Churchill used to say, when you're going through hell, keep going. Go on, keep going. God's got something for us. He's got a plan. He's working things out, even when we can't see it. Even when I should write a song like that. He's still working. And Eric, that's not just for pastors. Even though you can't see that he's working, we're working. You'll never sing that song again without thinking of that. Live your life. That's why this is for free. That's why 90%, I don't know, Maybe I'd go stick with Paul, 50-50. But I believe it's more, is how we live, is our message. If you don't have a life, you don't have a message. If you don't have a life, you don't have a ministry. Our ministry is our life. Our life is our ministry. You can't separate the two. And I've heard places do that where they say the call is untouched, the call is, it's whole. And the marriages and the life and the finance and everything else is all messed up. But no, the call is true. Yeah, there's no problem with the call. The problem's with you, with me, the messenger. And Paul says it matters how you live out your life, how you are seen. He says, we lived among you like a mother, like a father, and I could spend lots and lots of time on that. But God help us. And so that's our prayer as we go to Tanzania. Paul was here for 3 weeks. We're in Mwanza for 4 months. I pray that something good can happen. We go. We're sent by you guys to represent what's here. And we've talked with Julius many times and what he's asked for, and talked with Jeremy. And we just got, I'm just asking you to pray that there will just be a quick, somebody prophesied that last week. I wished I recorded it. But it was going to be powerful, and it was going to be, no, it was at the prayer meeting. And it was Rob. Remember Rob? He spoke. It's going to be fun and it's going to be powerful, if I'm saying it right. We're going to go there and have an adventure. It's exciting to think of going to Africa, and it's going to be powerful in that God can do stuff quickly and that we can't even imagine or we cannot dream about. So as we go, we say, God, may we be faithful to this word, preach the gospel, keep the main things, and may our lives be an example. And then Paul says this. He says, I urge you, and this is what I preached on 2 weeks ago out of Ephesians, the exact same words. He says, I urge you. Remember the urging. We urge our children. Do you urge your children? Sit up straight, walk, be quiet. As a father, to encourage, to put courage into, to speak life, to bring hope to them. He says, live lives that are worthy. Amen? Remember? That word is a measurement word. Axios. Oh, hallelujah. Greek. I know a little Greek. He lives up the street over here and he makes food. But it's true. But we use it for measurement. It's a measurement. A calling, a life. Is it worthy? Is it balanced to what you're called to? Does it look anything like the gospel that we preach over here? Is your life looking like that? Amen? You remember that powerful point? Yeah. Remember that. I'm remembering that. I'm saying, God, I want somehow my life to look like the gospel that I'm preaching. Yeah. That there would be a worthiness there, a balance there. There would be a life that befits the message. Is that okay? Yeah. Do you have it? Do I have it? God, help us. That the world that sees us, that has this picture of the church is just bad, and the church is negative, and the church is against everything, and we are just, and we come and we live a different life. Yeah. We say, no, the life of Christ that's in us, he says, you saw how we lived. You see how we lived. And he wasn't a washout, and he wasn't just a weakling. He was amazing, and he didn't want his words to just be persuasive and his amazing mind and powerful intellect. And I scare you sometimes, Brad, whatever your name is over there, Josh. See, it's good when I don't scare you like that. I even call you by the wrong name. What am I saying that for even now? Yeah, I don't want to scare you with it. So he said, I want to come to be known for Christ among you. I determined to know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified. And that amazing gospel, and if you ever get it, like we've said 1,000 times, the gospel's too good to be true. Once you get it, it's like, it's too good to be true. Yeah. Then you finally starting to understand the gospel. Yeah. So he says, you saw how we lived. Our message was true. We were not peddling it. We were not tricking you. We were not covering up. We weren't trying to fake it. We weren't trying to tell you something that we weren't prepared to do. You saw our lives. You saw how we lived it. If there's one thing I appreciate about the elders in this church and the leaders in this church, across this whole church, is that they're genuine. There's a genuineness. You see how we live. When Brad talks, when Russell talks, Herman talks, Eric talks, PJ talks, I start missing people. Les, Ingrid, Jonas and Penny, elders and deacons in this church. When I see all these musicians up here, again today, I see, Quentin and Haley, kids running, hair flying, and Haley's playing her guitar. Dun, dun, dun. Haley, what did I say?
It's a guitar.
It's a guitar. Thanks. This is a hard crowd. You see what Paul put up with. We faced lions. We faced knights in the deep on the ocean. It's nothing compared to this front row here. Now let me end. Remember in the day when we first got cell phones? We're kind of happy when you got a phone call when you're having a meeting. Oh, excuse me, I got to take this call. Okay, I'll bring some groceries later. Okay, good. Yeah, I just had to talk to the office there and deal with some stuff. Genuine people is what God's looking for, that He can pour His Spirit into. And then from that, they can live it out, live out a gospel. Not perfect, not without blemish, not without scars, but there's a joy, there's a passion, there's a life that comes from knowing God. And I'm going to ask the musicians to come right now and sing that song, "All My Life You've Been Faithful." And I want us to just celebrate that. And that will help me to end my sermon. He says, and this is what I've been trying to get to, and he says, verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians, "And we also thank God continually," here's the kicker, "because you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it," and then he says, "you became imitators." Amen? That's the key. So I thank God for leaders who are genuine. I thank God for a team of people. I get to sit with pastors in the city and just brag and brag and brag about the team of people we have. In fact, actually, I don't. They brag about our team. And I'm like, yeah, I personally raised them up myself, taught these musicians, taught the worship teams. Watch out, yeah. Can you bring the organ up just a little bit? A little more of the lights. Come on, that's a good time for another one of those. No, I was going to say, you got to watch out for the lightning bolts when you shouldn't lie in church. But we have an amazing team of people. And here's Paul's cry, and here's my cry. Here's my cry, honestly, for my children, for this church, for anyone listening. He says, "You heard from us. You accepted it, and you imitated it. You put it into practice." And if you think of Jesus' message back in Luke, he says those exact same words. The man who came, who heard, and who put into practice is like the man who dug deep and, built that house on a solid rock. You remember those verses? Don't make me go there and preach it again. Just, there's levels of faith. There's levels of Christianity, of walking in God. Thank God you came. He says, you came. The one who comes. You came this morning. You've all come. She's actually crying for her mom. I say she loves me. You came this morning. I'm so glad you came to this house. I'm so glad you're here. And I don't want to be the one that's why I'm saying, I don't want to be the cold water on it. I'm like Paul. You came. And Jesus says, the one who comes and hears. And there's levels of hearing. And there's people who are hearing the Spirit of God this morning. And there's people who are distracted and looking at their cell phones. And I don't know, you're thinking about dinner later on. And it's not all bad. We all do it. But there's a time to come and to hear. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you, sir, to you, father, to you, mother, to you, young person. Hear what that Spirit of God is saying to the church. I think we've had about 3 or 4 prophetic type words here this morning. Drew and at the prayer meeting and different words challenging us. And I'm saying, God, open my waxy ears. I don't want to just have ears, but I want to have ears that hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And then Jesus says, put it into practice. Put it into practice. And so it's part of the reason we're going back to Tanzania for a short time. It's not more glorious than your job or your being faithful in your family. It's what we feel God has spoken to us. It's best as we can hear God. We say, yes. God knows what that means. God knows what that opens up or what that does. I want to be faithful to God. He's been faithful to me and to my family. And so I'm asking you this morning, what is God saying? I'm glad you came. I pray you'll hear. Many don't. Many don't even come. But put it into practice. Be those ones who dig down and get to the foundation, who is Christ. And then they build on that, and they build a life. They build a testimony. And I'll say it one more time. You're either building or you're tearing it down. You're building a testimony or you're tearing it apart. You're building a family or you're tearing it apart. There is no middle ground. Build a kingdom of God. God help us. So I'm going to invite the... I don't dare look back at my daughter. I remember on your wedding day, that's why I didn't look around when we're dedicating. I had the speech prepared for her wedding day. It's our oldest daughter, our first daughter, going to get married, and we're in the room waiting to open the doors, and I looked at Nicole and getting ready to, you know, be a powerful father, bring strength, and I said, Nicole, I can't look again. You've been an amazing daughter, and that was it. The allergies kicked in, and we both said, okay, no, don't talk, don't. We got to walk out the door right now, and we cannot do that ugly cry. Brad might think we're sad or something. And when I think of the faithfulness of God standing here today with my dear little granddaughter and a great-grandmother and a grandmother and a mother and a grandfather and a oma and papa on this side, I want to serve God. I want to be faithful. I want to be able to say like Paul, my life, my word was true. It was genuine. Genuine. So I'm going to let you sing. Sorry. And then Russell, you close however you want. Amen.